The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
All right, top four at four is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Knoxville, Tennessee baseball team begins SEC tournament play tonight. 5:30 is the scheduled first pitch for the ninth-seeded Vols game against eight-seed Auburn. You can tune in to Overtime tonight with Tanner Carson and friends for the latest from Hoofa. Tony Vitellico taking the baseball Vols down south I-59 into Birmingham in the Hoover Metropolitan Stadium to take on Auburn tonight. See if the Vols can pull it off. They play Vanderbilt tomorrow if they get the win. Number two, Uroš Plavšić signs scholarship papers with Tennessee. The 7-foot Serbian big man transfers from Arizona State. He will file an appeal for immediate eligibility at Tennessee next year. Likely will not know the result of that appeal for some time. NBA last night, the Warriors finish off their sweep of the Portland Trail Blazers. They are headed back to the NBA Finals once again, where they will meet either the Milwaukee Bucks or the Toronto Raptors. Game four of that series is tonight at 8:30 in Toronto. The Bucks lead that one 2-1. And finally, number four, a mile-wide asteroid traveling at 48,000 miles per hour is set to pass close to Earth on Saturday.
What would happen if something that big hit?
We would die. Did you see, actually, unrelated, that video that I tweeted last
week? Yeah. It freaked me out.
It was like an animation of, like, what would happen if, like, just a gigantic... How would you... That thing was probably, what, maybe half the size of the moon? I mean, that was a huge asteroid.
Yeah.
And it hits the Earth, and they show, like, an animation. And first there's, like, a tidal wave, and then there's an immediate fire that spreads, engulfs the globe in flames.
Yeah. Nothing would survive. It's an ELE, Russ. You see deep impact? An extinction-level event. So once again, if I could have my science desk like I've been asking for, we could have answered that.
What would
that
you do? You want to get macabre? What would you do, Bear? Would you just kill yourself, or would you just like ride it out and see what happens? Just let yourself be engulfed by the flames?
Yeah, I mean, you'd be gone in a microsecond.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Depends on where it hits. Like, if it hit right on top of us, yeah, we'd be dead.
We'd have who knows?
If it hit on the other side of the world, I think it would take a while. You know, when the dinosaurs died, that was not a snap. Like, that happened over the process of a couple of years.
You're talking about the difference in size in asteroids would astound you between the one that killed off the dinosaurs and that one that video you sent out.
Was much bigger?
Hell yeah.
I mean, we don't know. All we know is some crater out in the middle of Mexico somewhere. Asteroid 1999 KW4 is actually designated a double asteroid or a binary asteroid.
Got one falling along with it?
Its companion rock is 0.3 miles wide and orbits around the larger body about once every 16 hours. So you got this huge rock that's rocketing around the galaxy, and it's got a rock orbiting it at speed. Like, can you imagine? It's insane. The main asteroid, which is just under 1 mile wide. That's a big asteroid.
I feel like Harry Stamper and the guys can take it down.
Is that a apocalypse reference?
Not Armageddon.
Armageddon. I never saw that movie.
What?
Never saw that movie.
You see Deep Impact?
No. Is that with Steven Seagal?
No, that was one with Robert Duvall and...
Really? I love Robert Duvall.
Who else was in that?
Old Bobby
Mary
Duvall.
Mary McCormick.
Love her, too.
She played one of the astronauts.
I think the reason I never saw
Anne Bancroft
Armageddon was because that Aerosmith song, I just hated it so badly. Like, it ruined, like, I didn't want to see the movie because the song was so bad.
Yeah, Deep Impact was, remember they came out the same summer. Was that 97?
Yeah, roughly.
Mid to late 90s at some point. But they came out, they got released right on top of each other.
Well, this asteroid has been designated a, quote, potentially hazardous asteroid by the Minor Planet Center, or MPC, according to NASA. It will safely pass the Earth at a distance of more than 3.2 million miles. So we're good. We got a buffer zone. 3.2 million miles. That's good. That's about 13.5 times the distance from Earth to the moon.
So it's not passing in between us and the, you know.
No, that would be weird. We would be able to see that with the naked eye. That would be weird. That would be bad. That's a close shave.
Yeah, because anything could. It deviates at all, and it's going to.
What would we do? Do we have a plan? Surely they've got a plan. Surely somewhere they've got a plan for that, right? Like some lasers that we shoot, or we try and bomb the thing.
I mean, you're just going. It's going 48,000 miles an hour, dude. I don't think you understand the. You know. No, we're not going to shoot nuclear missiles at it.
We got to do something. We're not just going to sit here and watch. I mean, even in Independence Day, they sent the planes up there and they tried to bomb the mothership. It didn't work, but they tried. They did what they had to do. And eventually, Will Smith and the other guy, Jeff Goldblum, they flew in there.
Put a key universe in there.
Yeah, they used exactly. They scienced their way out of the situation. They smoked a cigar, and then Will Smith flew the alien space shuttle out of there. They went back, and the dude from Star Trek gave him a high five. Bill Pullman was the president. He got in there. He gave a rousing speech, and he flew the plane. Randy Quaid sacrificed himself, and we conquered.
Who was...
You don't just sit back and say, oh, it's over, man. I guess we're all going to die.
What Star Trek guy are you talking about?
I don't know. It was one of the dudes from The Next Generation. Was it Data? I think was in...
Oh, no, he was dead by then.
The actor who played him?
Yeah, that was the crazy scientist down in the underneath.
Oh, he did get killed. Yeah, wrapped around his neck. Sad.
And we asked him, the president asked him what he wanted. It's
tragic,
what they wanted.
Really.
And they wanted us to die.
Oh, yeah, the aliens were like talking through his voice box.
Because they're telepathic.
Whoa. Whoa.
Complete disaster.
I saw that one on opening night.
You don't see any of these people running for president. They don't tackle the important issues. What's your asteroid plan? What are you going to do if the asteroid is coming right for Earth? What are you going to do?
Oh, no, I'll just call NASA and let the scientists handle it.
Need leadership.
Do the drive and then chug moonshine.
That's your plan? You want to be wasted? It's actually not a bad plan. It's a pretty good plan, I got to say.
We drank beer. I liked beer.
I mean, that one, the video you sent out there, nothing survives, not even bacteria.
No, that would be bad news.
That would wipe every trace of any kind of, you know, us off the planet.
Well, that's your top four at four. Shout out to Jiffy Lube Knoxville. What?
It's basically
uplifting show. Tennessee football recruiting, asteroid passing 13 million miles from Earth, 3 million, whatever it was.
Maybe we, you know, if we have enough time, we
go
get an oil change.
You know what?
Get ready
to
get the car ready.
If we're going out, you don't want to go out with you're past the sticker date, right?
No. Well,
you might have fresh oil in your car, man. You want to have your car freshly lubed up, man. You want to have the air filter fresh. You want to have those tires rotated.
Here's why.
You want to be good.
You know why? So you can get in that car if you have to get up in the mountains, get
away
from the tidal wave.
That's a good point.
Put it on our plan.
It's going to be a lot of traffic.
The drive is planning on making it. You know, I'm starting to see your. Might be right about the whole preventive maintenance. With cars.
You go to the mountains, or do we get an underground layer?
I don't know. Do you know anybody in the federal government that would give us access to some kind of black site, you know, doomsday shelter?
Yeah, man, they'll put in a call to Trump. Be like, yo, Don, the world's going to need the drive.
Complete disaster.
World's going to need the drive, Don. When we're rebuilding the scorched earth hellscape that we will all emerge to, who's going to entertain the people while they're planting new crops and building new buildings?
Like, me and you could do it.
And, you know, fornicating to propagate the human race. Who's going to entertain the people while we're rebuilding the Vols? I just see, like, Pruitt sitting there, asteroids headed to whale. Whale. I'm waiting. Whale. This is going to be a real hindrance to our recruiting operations. All right, we got an asteroid about 10 miles wide heading straight to Earth. Now, it's going to hit approximately 400 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean. All right, but the tidal wave that will surely ensue will probably wipe out Neyland Stadium and every other stadium in the Southeastern Conference, all right? So, need a couple 5 stars in the boat before then. Don't want to enter the afterlife outside the top 10 in recruiting. Very important. Get a couple of good commitments, all right? That would be tragic.
That'd be awful.
Tragic. JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. You can download a $10 off coupon for your next service visit there. JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. We got 9 Jiffy Lubes here in the greater Knoxville area. 1 in Maryville, 1 in Eagleton, Alcoa, 6 in Knoxville, and 1 in Clinton. 5 Jiffy Lube multi-care facilities where they'll do tires, they'll do repairs, brakes, any kind of maintenance, mechanical issue, they could probably help you out. Check out JiffyLubeKnoxville.com to find out more about Jiffy Lube Multicare Facilities. JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. If you want to chime in, today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question is, how worried are you about Tennessee football recruiting? 49% of the audience now says not worried. 38% describe themselves as worried. 9% say they are very worried. 4% of the perpetually optimistic say recruiting is going just fine and dandy. Awesome, I believe, is the exact phrase they used. DR Vol on Twitter says, I'll be worried if we get 8 wins and it doesn't pick up. That's a good point.
That's time to panic.
If we go 8-4 and we don't get particularly the in-state kids that we want.
Specifically the ones in the city.
It's like, man, what the heck's going on? Scott says, I thought the staff was full of super recruiters. Well, I think it is. Imagine where we'd be if we didn't have T. Martin and Niedermeyer and Tracy Rocker and Derek Ansley and all these other dudes. David Johnson. Like, imagine where we'd be if we didn't have a couple of hired guns on staff.
We'd be at the absolute very bottom of the conference, not just close to it.
I mean, at least we got a puncher's chance.
I feel like we do this year.
As it stands right now. Oh, yeah. I mean, you got a lot more chance. Jeopardy James. Notched another win last night.
He's such an odd dude, man. I watched it too. I thought for a second old Mutton Chops guy was going to get him.
Was it close?
At the very beginning. It's always close to the beginning.
Yeah, people can hang with him in regular Jeopardy. You get to double Jeopardy, that's where he puts some distance between you.
As soon as he starts hitting those daily doubles. And then you can see the frustration he gets in people's heads. That woman last night got rattled. She was rattled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they were doing that thing where they're like punching they're like looking at the clicker. Like, yeah. Oh, it doesn't work. He's beating me every time. I'm clicking it, but it doesn't work.
He's got it down. He's got that part of it down.
Oh man,
and he won't jump in if he doesn't know it. He doesn't seem to guess a lot.
No, I think he's only missed like 4 or 5 times when he buzzes in, and. When he buzzes in first, he's got 99% success rate.
Yeah, but he's so awkward.
You think he's socially awkward, like at home?
Yeah, I do. I think he'd be really.
How could you not be, right? It'd be that smart. Like, it'd be weird being so much smarter than everybody else. It's kind of like
just the random.
You know, I struggle with it personally, but you know,
I didn't want to say anything, man.
JC says, what happens first? Pruitt makes a college football playoff. Barnes makes a Final Four, or Vitello makes a College World Series?
Damn, that's a good one.
I mean, it's got to be Barnes, right? I mean, he's the furthest. He's doing the best right now out of all those teams.
Yeah, what it's Final Four, playoffs, World Series.
I guess the World Series is probably the easiest. How many teams make the College World Series? 8?
Think so. Don't quote me on that, though.
So, like, that's going to be a little bit easier, but, I mean.
I mean, with the Final Four, just so much of it's just pure blind luck.
Yeah. That's a good point. That evens the, like, you don't get lucky make the college football playoff. You make the college football playoff, you're a damn good team. You're certainly one of the 10 best, probably one of the 5 best teams in the country to make the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Nobody gets lucky and makes that there. You get lucky, you get hot. And, you know, there's VCU, George Mason, you know, Syracuse, the year they won with Carmelo Anthony was a 7 seed. So, like, you can totally get hot and lucky and make a Final Four. Doesn't happen in college football, and probably doesn't happen that much in college baseball, although I'm not an expert. But I would still go with Barnes just because his program is the best. I mean, his program has performed at a championship level for the past 2 years, and we are far from a championship level in either of the other two sports. Steve-O says, who got the shaft worse? Jon Snow being banished to the wall or the Duke of Granger being banished from the drive?
Well, I mean, Brandon's got his.
Yeah, first of all, it's definitely Jon Snow. Jon Snow got the major shaft of all shafts, and he's the rightful heir to the Iron Throne. And now all of a sudden, he's going to be freezing his rear end off for the rest of time up north with Tormund. By the way, last night I was rewatching the series finale with Mrs. Dubs. She said that you remind her of Tormund.
Tormund?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And then, like, when they're riding off, she says, that makes me Jon Snow. That's you and me, Bear. Jon Snow and Tormund.
Yeah.
It's actually not that bad. I like to think I don't brood as much as Jon Snow, and I'm probably a little more handsome. But I feel like that's a good comparison.
Okay.
Jon Snow and Tormund are to Russell and Bear.
Hey, I'll get down with that.
Second of all, the Duke of Granger did not get banished from the drive. I mean, he's getting his own show. It's not like he's out in the wilderness. Not his own show. I mean, he's got a show that he's sharing with Chance and Reek.
Well, yeah, but the three, I mean, this is, you know, the Brotherhood Without Banners.
Is that what you're calling their show?
Yeah. We tried to figure out who was who.
Yeah, no, I mean, Brandon didn't get the shaft. He's and third, I would like to say I'm glad that the Duke of Granger is finally catching on.
The Duke of Granger?
Yeah, I've been pushing that nickname for like a month now. And
well, because you felt bad because you were calling him Hodor. You started that one. Brandon. Brandon. Brandon.
We love you, Brandon. Who's next, Bear?
We got D.R. Vol.
D.R. Vol, you're on the drive. Fan Run Radio.
See, I think Bear is more of like the Hound to me, just very upfront, outspoken, and don't mind fighting.
He's got some Hound-like qualities to him, for sure.
My language.
Yeah.
Definitely. We like to use a lot of the same words.
What's that?
We like to use a lot of the same words in casual conversation.
I can imagine. Same here, but obviously don't say it on radio. Now, I'm with you, Bear, as far as drinking the moonshine. If I know the asteroids hitting, it's kind of like that movie, The Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not dying sober.
You're going out just plastered.
Loaded up on lemon ludes. And
I was banging 7-gram rocks.
Expensive scotch.
Yeah, if I know it's coming like that, there's just no way. I don't want to be, even if it's just a millisecond, I don't want to be burned alive. That just don't sound fun to me.
Yeah, the quicker the better. My worry is, and we don't know what it would be like, but my worry is like there would just be all kinds of dust and debris in the air. We'd like black out the sun, and we wouldn't know what to do, and we would just slowly start like society would disintegrate. It would become like Mad Max.
No, if it's that one, the video you showed us, the Earth would turn into a molten ball of lava for a long, long time.
Yeah, of course, I don't know how long you'd have to know. Say if you had a month, I think that'd probably be what the month would feel, because he'd love the doom and gloom of it all.
Take it.
Oh, man, you finally get a basketball program, and now the world's coming to an end. Kind of comical, huh?
Yeah, told you we'd never beat Vanderbilt.
No, I do not want to go out on a 3-game losing streak to stinking Vanderbilt. That would be awful.
That would be
like to have that one of your dying thoughts. Oh, Derek Mason just housed us the last football game we played. Oh, it'd be awful.
Oh, it'd be miserable. But yeah, and I want to talk about the record greatest question. You know that Jordan Rogers, whatever that kid was that committed Kentucky over us. I'm not really worried about that right now, because if we go out and show improvement, Kentucky's not getting another 10-win season. You know, it's kind of like how in the past we've had guys committed to us over like Alabama or Georgia, then the season hits and it's a different ball game. You know, it's like chicken or the egg, like you say all the time. But you got to start getting wins to get the players.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation to be in, for sure. I had a really pertinent thought, but it just vanished.
Escaped.
Yeah. Sorry, Dr. Ball, I got nothing. No, it'll be interesting to see. Certainly, Tennessee's. No, that's what that kid's not going to Kentucky.
No,
y'all know that, right? Justin Rogers ain't going to Kentucky.
Hell no,
he's not going to Kentucky. First of all, they're going to suck this year. They're going to throw up a 6-6. He's going to be a 5-star recruit, and he might not come here, but he ain't going to Kentucky. I'll tell you that right now.
No, I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, good stuff, my man. Anything else, Dr. Ball?
Well, I will say, I was searching for a new show, and I finally decided on Hell on Wheels, because I'd started watching it years ago when it came out, and I watched the first 2 seasons and then had some stuff go on, and so I'm going to rewatch it, because I think it's done now, isn't it, Barry? There's no.
Oh, yeah. Seasons. Yeah, been done.
Okay. Yeah, but
it's on Netflix.
Awesome show.
The Swede. Yeah, if I can get Russell to watch enough until he becomes acquainted with the Swede on their Dr. Vol, it'll be his favorite show.
Well, did they have a planned finish? Like, did they wrap everything up?
Yeah.
And
they did the AMC. They split the last season.
I almost feel like that would have been, for some shows, when they just end like that because it's canceled. Shows don't always get canceled because they're bad, right? They just get canceled because people don't watch. There'd be a lot of good shows.
Yeah, there's one this year right now. It's like my favorite show, and ABC's going to cancel it.
But sometimes that's the best, too, right? Because they don't feel like they have to wrap up, and
it's really horrible. This is one of the funniest TV shows I've seen in 20 years.
It's like, did you ever watch Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, I loved it, and I'm
critically
still
acclaimed show. Only 2 seasons, right? And, like, I don't think they wrapped it up. I think the show just ended. And they're like, that's fine. Like, why does everything have to have
a second season?
No, why does everything have to end wrapped up in a nice little bow?
I'm not talking about wrapped up in a nice bow, but it's only been a year. Let the show live. I mean, it's hysterical, dude.
What show's that?
It's called The Kids Are All Right.
Like the Who album?
No, it's about this Catholic family in Southern California in 1972. And it's a couple. Mary McCormick. Remember the actor who played Bull on Band of Brothers, Sergeant Randleman? Bull Randleman?
He
always had chew in.
No.
I'll show you who he is. Anyway, they've got 8 kids, and they're all boys. And I don't know. It's an excellent TV show. And they're ABC's idiots, and they're canceling it.
Yeah, that's the worst feeling when you find a show like that you like. ABC had a flash forward years ago I liked. It's how they stopped time or paused or something, and it ended after 1 season. And it wasn't even worth getting into, but I thought it was awesome.
Good stuff, Dr. Ball. Thanks, man. Got to run. Stay with us. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the drive. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive's podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group 865-566-0800. 866-0800 or visit online at dag-us.com. Visit dag-us.com.
Retired race car driver Al Unser Jr. is arrested in Indiana early Monday. Charged with operating a vehicle while intoxicated.
Not his first time on that one.
Nope. 57-year-old Unser is pulled over by police in Avon, west of Indianapolis, shortly before 1 a.m. Do you think that professional race car drivers are able to drive drunk better than normal people?
No. No.
You think they just lose all their skills?
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't think so.
I think you're...
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm not saying it's fine. I'm just saying that I would expect Al Unser Jr. would be a better drunk driver than me.
No.
Really?
No.
Wait, really?
That's... the hell is wrong with you?
I'm just saying, like...
No, Russell, that's like one of the dumbest things you've ever said. And you don't often do that. That's just kind of silly to me. If you're drunk, you're drunk.
No, that's not true. Because some people can handle their alcohol better than others, right?
Alcoholics.
Well, just regular people, too.
No, I promise you.
What do you mean you promise me? Like I've never seen a drunk person before? Like
They may be able to outwardly, but I mean, nobody can just get drunk and not... I mean, it's not like some people have this ability to counteract the effects of alcohol on their central nervous system, their coordination and everything. That's just silly.
Listen, man, if I'm drinking with a nuclear scientist and we both drink 10 beers, he might not be able to explain to you how a nuclear power plant makes power the way Coach Pruitt did to us last week, but he's still going to be able to do it better than I would.
That's not the same thing as
it's
driving.
It's the exact same thing.
No, it's really not.
It's the exact same thing.
It's some kind of crazy-ass straw man argument.
All right. Would if Bryce Harper and I get hammered drunk together, and then we go out there and we face a major league pitcher, he might not hit 300, but he's going to be able to hit better than I would.
That's still closer, but still no cigar.
That's the exact same thing.
It's not the exact same thing. How about operating a motor vehicle? No, it's not.
You just can't give in on this one.
No,
because I've spent my lifetime watching drunk driving?
No, watching drunk people of every skill level. I mean, really, honestly, it may be the silliest thing you've ever said.
I feel like it's perfectly reasonable.
You know why? Because Al Unser's proof, because he keeps getting caught drunk driving. He's not good. He's not a good driver when he's drunk, or he wouldn't continue to be getting caught.
Well, maybe he just drives drunk all the time, which I'm afraid is probably the more likely scenario. A 72-year-old Dodgers usher is suing the team and her boss, alleging she suffered a backlash for complaining about alleged sexual harassment by her boss, and that her health has been negatively affected. The 72-year-old Los Angeles Dodgers usher says she is being sexually harassed on the job. Now, either she's very confused, or her boss, I mean, who is she working for, Kellen Winslow Jr.?
That's what I was thinking.
That's not funny. I shouldn't joke about that. That guy's a creep. Vicky Gutierrez. Los Angeles Superior Court lawsuit names as defendants LA Dodgers LLC, LA Dodgers Holding Company, and Sharam Aryan, identified in the complaint as the team's executive in charge of security for Dodger Stadium. The suit's seven causes of action include retaliation, sexual battery, sexual harassment, sexual discrimination, hostile work environment, failure to take preventive and corrective action, and violation of the State Business and Professions Code. Suit filed Monday seeks unspecified damages. Dodgers have not issued comment. That is the docket. brought to you by Disability Advantage Group. You check them out online at dag-us.com. If you are suffering from some sort of injury or physical ailment that prevents you from working and prevents you from earning, well, you may qualify for disability. To see if you qualify, just go online to dag-us.com. You can also call them here locally to set up a free consultation where they'll walk you through the process and see if you qualify for disability benefits. The phone number is 865-566-0800. That's 566-0800 here in Knoxville. And again, that website, dag-us.com. Rick, am I crazy for thinking a professional race car driver?
And put the poll in the field. We'll see what the fans say.
I want to put the poll in the field, but I feel like that would be unprofessional. Because I feel like, even though...
What?
Because you know I'm not advocating or encouraging or...
It's a scientific poll, Russ, and it's by far not the stupidest thing we've put out there, most irresponsible thing we've ever put up as a poll.
But people will take it the wrong way. Some idiot out there will be like, oh, you guys, my brother was killed by a drunk driver, and I don't think that's funny. It's like, well, I'm not trying to be funny.
I'm sitting here telling you, I've been hit by three. I promise you, I'm not a big fan of it.
Are you like one of those people that's been struck by lightning multiple times? How is that even possible that you've been hit by three drunk drivers?
A significant portion of my life...
You drive at night?
Drove in the dead of night home from working at bars. And have you ever seen those studies where, like, after a certain time...
like 50% of the people inebriated.
Spikes. Think about that next time you're driving down the road at 4 a.m.
Rick Butler, do you think that it's likely that a professional race car driver would be better at driving while inebriated than... regular dudes like us?
Not really. I think that if you're a drunk person, like, what advantage does a NASCAR driver have on me just on the regular pedestrian streets? We're all going 40 miles per hour.
I mean, you do realize some of those guys are not good drivers in real life. A significant number of them.
I feel like, first of all, Rick's assumption is way off. Not good drivers, maybe because they drive really fast, but they know how to operate cars better than most people. They might be taking unnecessary chances, driving drunk, and or just putting the pedal to the metal.
Drunk driver's a drunk driver, Russ.
Wait, I don't get how my take was that bad.
It's like, not.
How hard
Russ is
driving
dying on this hill
40
currently.
Miles per hour on Kingston Pike? Like, we're all doing the same thing. A NASCAR driver doesn't have any advantage on me.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
He's much better at it. He does this for a living.
No, he
Rick,
drives like
you don't even
150
know what the,
miles
how
per
the,
hour.
How the oil change sticker in the top left corner
that doesn't
of
have
your
anything
car
to do
That's
with
a good
driving.
Point, Rick.
No, that's not a good
Russ,
point.
That's a real good point.
These NASCAR drivers are used to driving 150 miles per hour. I actually don't know that number. But only taking left turns. If they're just going regular dude speed right down Kingston Pike.
So you think you are just as fine a driver on public roads as Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
If Rick and Jr. have the same blood alcohol level, I imagine that, I mean, it's pretty much standard. I guess you haven't. You've never had to go get like a server permit, like a liquor by the drink permit, server card.
Who, me? No.
If you do it down, the last one I went to, it was the safety building, and they had beer goggles, but they were like real beer goggles. Like, you put them on, and some of them would show you what your vision's like when you're...
Oh, that stuff doesn't work. Like in high school, when they bring the car to you that, like, messes up automatically.
They put the
glasses
on
work.
You and ask you to walk down a line.
Yeah, and you can't do it.
I mean, no.
I fell over in the floor.
Again, I'm not saying that it's okay. I'm not saying that they should do it. I'm not saying that it's safe.
And this is similar, very similar to when you asked me last week what handicap, how big a handicap would we have to put on the high school all-star basketball player for you to win.
How is that similar at all?
It's just, it is.
No, you can't say that. You have to prove a reason.
Oh, the hell I can't.
That is not an argument. It is. That's what my 4-year-old says when I say, Eli, why are you doing that? And he says, because I am.
I love that.
No. Here's why that argument.
Well, so do I, but he's
sense.
An idiot. He's 4.
No.
You're 50. You should be able to construct an argument
you
to
will,
back
you
up
will not
your statement.
Call me an E. Idiots. We're not.
Look, if Russell and a college basketball player are playing basketball, that basketball player is still trying to play to the absolute top of his ability. If you take a race car driver and put him on a regular road, he's not like, I'm going to go 200 miles per hour on all these people and zoom past him. He's doing what everyone else is doing. That'd be like the college basketball player saying, I'm going to imitate a 6'2", 39-year-old
but Bear's right.
Dad.
You see a lot of these dudes who are used to driving two-ton stock cars, at 200 miles an hour. Like, think about doing that all the time, and then getting behind.
They don't drive them there. Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they get driven.
That would suck having to drive 30 miles an hour down some road, right?
There was a video of
so these guys maybe drive recklessly,
either Bristol or Martinsville, but it was Kyle Busch and his wife and their kid, and they were leaving the track.
He got busted.
No, this is Kyle. I mean, he has a child in the car. Yeah. You're talking about his older brother. And he said something about it. You know, he'd gone from, even the short tracks, they're doing like 150, 160. I couldn't imagine. Could you imagine leaving like Daytona or Talladega and then just hopping in your regular car? How slow it'd feel like you were going?
Oh, it must be the most frustrating thing in the world. Can you imagine like sitting in traffic? Like, you're just on the interstate, there's a traffic jam, and you're just like, stop and go.
Yeah, no.
Those dudes must just rage out.
Can you imagine taking a right-handed turn? That probably just blows their mind.
An Oregon man has admitted stealing his daughter's Girl Scout cookie money to pay for blank.
Meth?
Rick? An Oregon man has admitted to stealing his daughter's Girl Scout cookie money to pay for blank.
An illegal pet.
An erotic massage.
Wow. Didn't want to go there.
Yikes.
40-year-old Brian Couture pled guilty on Monday to initiating a false report. He was put on probation, fined $100, and ordered to perform 80 hours of community service. He'll also have to repay what he stole, according to the Washington County District Attorney's Office. Back in March, Couture called 911 to report that someone had entered his home through a sliding glass door and fought with him before fleeing. Police found the home ransacked and spotted with blood.
Well, what did he do? Wow. Go off Fight Club and just beat himself up?
Couture told officers the assailant stole $740 of his daughter's Girl Scout cookie money from a jar. Later, investigators spotted, quote, inconsistencies in Couture's story, and the cookie caper crumbled. Couture told police that he stole the money from his daughter to pay for an erotic massage and faked the robbery when he realized he couldn't explain the missing funds. I mean, what kind of mental midget is this? First of all, that he can't fool his daughter.
Pretty significant one. It's always a good sign when you're stealing your kids' fundraising money.
Yeah, to go to the
erotic massage.
The old Robert Kraft special.
Yeah.
Tell her not to put $450 in a jar.
$720.
Sounds like an issue.
Wait, you're blaming the child?
When I was a kid,
and second of all,
I had a little lockbox.
Like,
nobody could get in it.
I guess, like, on one hand, you do have to admire the man's commitment. I mean, first of all, he staged a crime scene. He ransacked his own home.
Beat the crap out of himself.
Yeah, beat him to the point where he was bleeding at some point. And second of all, called 911. Involved the authorities in this. All for a visit to the massage parlor.
He's a hell of a dad.
What an idiot.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. Quick break. We're back with more right after this.
All right.
Back here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, taking your phone calls at 865-546-8200. So, Tennessee fans, some of them, although as we're finding out on the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day, not as many as we thought, maybe a vocal minority of Tennessee fans freaking out a little bit about the lack of recruiting momentum with Tennessee. The other big story, by the way, hold that thought for just a second. Did you see the story that Rivals put out about our running back commitment from Georgia that decommitted, Ebony Jackson?
No, I did not.
So, evidently, Chad Simmons is the writer's name at Rivals.com, and they put out an article after Ebony Jackson decommitted, which is, I mean, that's a blow, man. That sounds like his recruitment's blowing up. He's a good running back. He decommitted. We'll see if Tennessee's able to get back in there, although generally when a prospect decommits, they usually go somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chad Simmons writes a piece, and it's since been taken down from Rivals.com, in which the kid indicated that one of the reasons, I never read the piece, I was just reading about this on the Rivals message board, but evidently the kid said he was at some sort of event. I'm not sure if it was like spring practice or one of these combine type things, and he hurt himself, had some sort of an injury, and he was on the field in pain.
Right.
And Tennessee had an assistant coach there recruiting him, and the assistant did not go down to the field to check on him, and perhaps that rubbed the prospect and or his family the wrong way. And so they write, the Rivals wrote this.
Right.
Tennessee, I guess the coaches saw it or something, and they call up the dude, Chad Simmons, and say, listen, that is completely disingenuous. And that might be what the kid feels, but we can't go down there and talk to him because it would be a quote-unquote bump violation. Like, you, I guess it's one of these things where you can go and view the prospect and stuff, but you can't see him. Like, you could, it's like one of those basketball deals where the coach could be in the stands, but he can't go and talk to the player afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, if a kid is hurt on the field like that in a game of football, the only people that should be out there attending to him or the medical staff.
No, but it's not that. It's not that. It's not
his
about
own coaches.
It's not about who goes down there. Like, if it weren't a quote unquote bump, if it weren't a secondary violation, by all means, go down there and be like, you know, I mean, unless the kid's like broken neck and they've got the ambulance on the field, but if he's got a knee injury or something, you go check on him and be like, hey man, like, you know, just want you to know we're praying for you, we're with you, like we're by your side on this. Like that's fine, but the thing is, the issue is Tennessee says they couldn't do that because that would be an NCAA violation. And so maybe there's some miscommunication where the kid thought that, you know, the coach was being insensitive to him, and the coach, who, and I don't know which assistant it was, but it was like, you know, I can't, like, this is just an observation period. I can't go and actually contact you no matter what the situation is. And maybe that's just a stupid NCAA rule, but it's the rule, and Tennessee wasn't going to violate it in this situation.
So what did Chad Simmons respond back with?
Well, they just took the article down. It's not up anymore.
Yeah, but it's already been up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't see his official response.
Like, I would think, like, if I were in the stands and I saw that, I would think it was really, really weird. The kid doesn't play for, you know, it's not your coach. It's just some, you know, one of the guys is recruiting you.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
just really odd. And the way high schools are with who's on the field, and especially when it comes to injuries, and, like, usually the head coaches, I mean, they'll go out there and, I mean.
Well, yeah, and maybe, like, maybe the play there is, if it's, again, if it's not a violation, which it is – you let the trainers or whatever attend to him, and, you know, you go over behind the bench or something. They bring him over to the bench. Or if they're taking him back to the field house or something to get work done, you kind of go and, you know, pat him on the shoulder pad kind of thing. Hey, man, we're we're praying for you and all that stuff.
I think they consider that a bump violation.
No, I know, Barrett. Yes, they definitely do. But I'm saying maybe if they didn't, that would be the way, instead of going out onto the field like you're saying and making it weird.
Yeah.
So that's a weird situation in and of itself. The other thing that people are talking about today is you got the football magazines out. I've got the Athlon here, right here. Show that to our Periscope viewers. Waiting for you at Barnes & Noble, interestingly enough. They've got Lindy's, Athlon, Street & Smith. All these things are out. And I've got Lindy's at home, too. And one of my favorite features, we talk about this every year here on The Drive, is the anonymous opposing coach giving quotes about every team. And the one in Lindy's has an anonymous opposing coach saying something to the effect of, boy, Jeremy Pruitt's really got his work cut out for him. That's going to take 5 years to fix.
Oh!
A five-year rebuild.
Coming off our already 10 years of rebuilding.
And to which everybody, and I think 100% rightfully, is responding, man, it's 2019. You don't get 5 years to turn around a program. And he might be right. It might have cratered so badly under Butch Jones that it's going to take 5 years for Nick Saban himself to come in here and turn Tennessee football around. It doesn't matter. It's 2019, man. You can't have five bad years and expect to remain a coach at anywhere in the SEC, at Ole Miss or Tennessee. Like, it just, you don't get that kind of time anymore. And so people are upset about that one. Anyway, I've got the Athlon here. You want to hear what the anonymous opposing coach has to say about Tennessee?
Yeah, let's see if we can figure out who it is.
First of all, I missed it. First of all, they've got Tennessee picked here fifth. They got
picked in the East.
Fifth in the East, going 7-5, 3-5 in conference play. Find you the Tennessee.
I don't really section. Feel like that's accurate, but okay.
Here's the. You would turn your nose up at 7-5, 3-5. It's not moving the needle, but I would take it. Opposing coach size up Tennessee. Here's what opposing coach says about the Vols. Jerry Garantano is a longtime starter who has been through it with that program. Combine him with Jim Chaney, a veteran play caller who knows the program and the roster. And in the second year of Jeremy Pruitt's culture, they should be better. The standout position group here is at wide receiver. Marquez Callaway and Josh Palmer should help them build out something on the outside. Juwan Jennings coming back is big. They have a lot of athleticism on offense. They just didn't know how to utilize their big skill guys. There's no reason that offense was so bad last year. I know the line wasn't good, but they have players. It's somewhat encouraging. Secondary is an obvious strength. They were playing freshman corners last year, and those guys are back. They run a lot of stuff out of the nickel, too, so they'll be able to do more, even more this year. Butch Jones did a better job recruiting than what they're telling media. The players he brought in are still playing the bulk of the time, and not a lot of the Pruitt recruits have broken past them on the depth chart, though that could change this year. They've recruited well so far for the system Jeremy wants. They just need to get to a bowl this year and beat Vanderbilt and Missouri and the conference teams who aren't as talented on their rosters. Just show that the plan is working long term.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Kind of.
Well, in the five-year part.
Well, that wasn't in this one.
Oh, okay.
That was in Lindy's.
I thought what they said about the offense was spot on. That we do have a bunch of very talented, very athletic guys, and we just didn't know how to use them.
Like the offense, there's no reason it should have been that bad last year. I mean, we were 122nd in the country in total offense, dead last in the SEC. And we had a bad offensive line. I'm not saying that we should have been a juggernaut or anything like that, but there's no reason to be 122nd
in the country. What was That's our pathetic. Biggest game? It was Auburn. And what did we do that game? Like, we aired out the ball. We spread out the offense. And then we didn't after that.
No, that's a good point. I'll read you. You guys think of some schools that you want to hear the opposing coach's summation of. I'll read some more for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to figure out which one's Pruitt.
Not necessarily a head coach. It could be an assistant, you know, just some anonymous assistant. All right, stay with us. Hour number three, Rick Butler will have your top five at five. Coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.